quite today. And I think it's either Monday or Tuesday, depending on which calendar you're looking at, is the day that was the founding of ISKCON, when the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was incorporated. This is actually a very, very important day to us, which I will talk about a little bit today. So today I'm going to talk about the founding of ISKCON, what its purposes are, and talk a little bit about the seven purposes of ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada enunciated when he actually incorporated our ISKCON movement, our society. So it happened on July, I'll get to the verse in a little bit, after a little intro. July 13th, 1966 was the actual incorporation day of ISKCON, which is Srila Prabhupada's movement, when the International Society for Krishna Consciousness Incorporated came into being. So why is this so important? You might think, well, it's just a legal document. But no, it's much more than that, because Krishna Consciousness movement is actually more than just a philosophy. Of course, the philosophy is at the very heart of our movement. Our understanding of spiritual life, of spiritual truth, of absolute truth, that is the core. But all around that, how is that implemented? How do people come to it? How is the devotional life of those adherents of Krishna, of those devotees of Krishna, how is that sustained? How is that nurtured? For that, you need more than just a philosophy. You need an organization. You need a movement. So this ISKCON is a spiritual movement. It's a cultural movement. It's a missionary movement. And Srila Prabhupada knew that you had to have a strong organization if he was going to accomplish this most difficult and most amazing objective that he had of taking up Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world to every town and village. That's not going to just happen randomly. It's going to take a little bit of organization to accomplish that. In fact, we very, very well-known story, of course, in Srila Prabhupada's last week of his life, and, you know, he's laying on his deathbed, actually, in Vrindavan, and Giriraj Maharaj comes to him, and they're talking, and Srila Prabhupada's very weak, but, you know, he's still speaking quite lucidly. And Srila Prabhupada said to Giriraj Maharaj, says, how will this movement go on after I leave? Giriraj Maharaj said, you know, the things that you might think to say, well, we have to be spiritually strong, we have to have good sadhana, we have to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, yes, yes, but that wasn't really what he was looking for. He said three words. He said, organization and intelligence. That's what's going to be required to have the Krishna Consciousness movement continue even after Srila Prabhupada's departure. So knowing that he was only going to be here a few short years, Srila Prabhupada wanted to make a very strong foundation of an organization that would be sustainable beyond his lifetime and into many, many years to come. I was thinking, as I was about this class, about the recent departure of His Holiness Bhakti Swarupaswami, which, of course, is very impactful, very sad for all of us. All of us who knew him really feel the loss. And I was thinking how he's known so much as a spiritual leader, a very brahminical person, very intelligent, great humility, great care of devotees, all of these great personal qualities. These are things people think of first, probably, when we think of Bhakti Swarupaswami. You don't necessarily think, you know, a big manager. Although he was a GBC member, had his own, you know, he was certainly a manager. But it's not what you think of first, because he was so brahminical in many ways. Yet, he deeply, deeply understood the importance of the ISKCON movement and the need for an organization for success for Srila Prabhupada's movement. In fact, Bhakti Swarupaswami, in my dealings with him in the GBC, was probably one of the greatest advocates and proponents of our strategic planning and of our developing the ISKCON organization. He felt so strongly about it. And remember when we were hearing the memories last Monday night from several of the devotees mentioned that he had said to them as a personal instruction to his disciples, do not leave the ISKCON movement. Right? People were saying that. Remember, he told that to Prabir, one of his last instructions, and to some of the other disciples. He said, whatever you do, stay in this movement. So, not only Srila Prabhupada, but his disciples, who actually understood Srila Prabhupada's intention, understood what Srila Prabhupada was trying to accomplish, they got it. They understood how important this was to him. In fact, we did a lot with this during the 50th anniversary, which was, of course, in 2006. It was the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. I know I had done a couple seminars at the ILS and at some retreats and things on the founding of ISKCON and of the seven purposes of ISKCON. But Prabhupada had always emphasized this. We don't think about it so much, but I remember in 1976, I was there when Srila Prabhupada came. We were so blessed that Prabhupada came and visited us in Potomac, Maryland, the Washington, D.C. area temple. And that was, it happened that he came in July, and that was the 10th anniversary, July 13th, 1976. So we actually, Prabhupada mentioned it, and we had a big celebration. I think it was at a Sunday feast or something, you know, that we brought a great big cake for the anniversary of the 10th, you know, 10th anniversary. It was actually rather amusing because the devotees handed Srila Prabhupada a cutting utensil, you know, to a knife, well, actually just a knife, to cut the cake, which is customary, you know, in America because, you know, the hostess or the honored person often cuts the first piece of cake, right? But it's your birthday, sometimes you cut the first piece and then someone else, you know, so they hand the knife to Srila Prabhupada, which is really rather strange when you think about it, asking your spiritual master to serve you, you know, cut the cake for you. And Prabhupada looked a little bewildered because this was certainly nothing he was familiar with as far as his culture. But Prabhupada was like that. He was so gracious that he immediately, he kind of said, what? And Prabhupada said, oh, it's the honored guest cuts the first piece. He goes, oh, okay. And so he did it. You know, he always was like that. You know, he would just, okay, you want me to do that? That's what you do in America. So, and then, of course, someone else took over for there. But he very much appreciated that the devotees did something special for this 10th anniversary. Now we're up to our 56th? Is that possible? My time, it really goes by, doesn't it? Yes, it's now the 54th. Yeah, good. Good thing we have some young person here with a good mind. Thank you, Garanga. 54th anniversary of ISKCON. So why is this so important? ISKCON is more than just another religious society or organization. It actually reflects the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement outside of India and throughout the world. Which brings us to our verse for today. I'll just read it. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 16:19, Emata Bangara Lukhera Kaila Mahakita Namadiya Bhakta Kaila Pandita Pandana Padita. Sorry, I couldn't read it from this distance very well. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contributed the greatest benefit to the people of East Bengal by initiating them into the Harinam, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and making them learned scholars by educating them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna Conscious Movement is distributing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and inducing people all over the world to chant. We are giving people an immense treasury of transcendental literature translated into all the important languages of the world. And by the grace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this literature is selling profusely, and people are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with great delight. This is the preaching process of the Chaitanya cult. Since the Lord wanted this preached all over the world, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is acting in a humble way so that the vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may be fulfilled all over the world, especially in the Western countries. That's interesting because, of course, we all know that it was Srila Prabhupada who did this. Srila Prabhupada who brought Krishna consciousness to us. But he doesn't take credit. He says it is this International Society for Krishna Consciousness because he wanted the devotees to understand how important it was that we all work together in a society to help make this possible. And just one other real quick one, Adi 9:18 was, thus the branches of the Chaitanya tree formed a cluster or society with great branches covering all the universe. So this is talking about the branches of the Chaitanya tree. And Prabhupada says in his purport, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree. So very, very important. We are part of Lord Chaitanya's mission. We are part of Srila Prabhupada's mission as we carry on in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we need to understand its importance to Srila Prabhupada and its purposes. I'm going to talk about the purposes, the seven purposes of ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada enunciated in the corporation. But first, I just want to read a little bit from the Lilamrita, how that happened, how it all sort of came about. And I'm condensing this quite a bit. It's a long story. "We shall call our society ISKCON," Prabhupada had laughed playfully when he first coined the acronym. He'd initiated the legal work of incorporation that spring while still living on the Bowery. But even before its legal beginning, he'd been talking about his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so it appeared in letters to Indian in the Village Voice. A friend had suggested a title that would sound more familiar to Westerners, like International Society for God Consciousness. The Prophet insisted Krishna Consciousness. He said God was a vague term, whereas Krishna was exact and scientific. God Consciousness was spiritually weaker, less personal. Right? He doesn't really define who is God, the person God of Krishna. And if Westerners didn't know that Krishna was God, then the International Society for Krishna Consciousness would tell them by spreading his glories in every town and village. But to register ISKCON legally as a non-profit, tax-exempt religion requires money and a lawyer. Carl Jurgens had gained some experience in forming religious, political, and social welfare groups, and when he met Prabhupada in the Bowery, he agreed to help. He contacted his lawyer, Stephen Goldsmith. So after Stephen Goldsmith worked up the papers, then it was during one of the Sunday programs. At the end of the lecture in the New York storefront, Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, Mr. Goldsmith, you can ask something." Mr. Goldsmith stands, and to surprise the people gathered, he makes a short announcement asking for signers on an incorporation document for the Swami's new religious movement. Prabhupada said, "They are present here. You can take the addresses now. Bill, you can give your address, and Raphael, you give yours, Don, Roy, and Mr. Green." It's kind of like we just walked in today and said, "We need a board of directors for this kind of Blatchwick, and you, and you, and you, and you know," everybody kind of come up and, you know, who's ever in the room, you're now it. Okay. The first trustee, the first trustees who will hold office for a year until the first annual meeting of the corporation are Michael Grant, who puts down his name and address without ever even reading the document. Of course, Michael Grant is Mukunda Maharaj. Mike's girlfriend, Jan, his name is Janaki, and James Green. No one seriously intends to undertake any formal duties as trustees of the religious society, but they're happy to help the Swami by signing his fledgling society into legal existence. None of them know exactly what the half-dozen legal-sized type pages mean, except that Swamiji is forming a society. Now, this is Satsrup Maharaj writing. But Prabhupada is planning for the future, and he's planning for much more than just a tax exemption. He's trying to serve his spiritual predecessors and fulfill the scriptural prediction of a spiritual movement that is to flourish for 10,000 years in the midst of the age of Kali. Within the vast Kali Age, a period of 432,000 years, the 1960s are but an insignificant moment. So Srila Prabhupada had a very broad vision. Very broad vision for ISKCON, for this Krishna Consciousness movement, and he saw far into the future. He never thought small or narrow, but always with an expansive view of how Krishna Consciousness could flourish. One example of this was still when he was just in his little storefront, you know, just one little place there in New York. He had business cards printed, and it said centers all over the world, because he was seeing that there would be centers all over the world. He was preparing for that. And in so many ways, there's one memory tape where someone's saying that there's some, it was a person who really, he never became a devotee, but just Prabhupada just met someone. I don't know the exact details of who he was, but he related the story to the devotees. He said that he had sat down to him and he talked about, he says, "Oh yes, we have temples all over the world. We have farms, we have schools, we have restaurants, we have this." And he says, "Are they here now?" Prabhupada said, "No, not yet." He said, "It is only time separating us." So Prabhupada could see. He knew these things were going to happen. He knew if he had faith in Krishna and pushed forward for this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, all of these things would manifest. So when you incorporate any organization, you have to have your purposes of the organization. And usually, to be honest with you, they're pretty boilerplate. In other words, you know, your lawyer says, well, these, okay, you're what? You're not, you're a religious organization. These are things you need to say. You're an educational organization. You say blank, 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 blank. You know, you kind of go down the list. Thank you. Check off the boxes. So in one sense, Prabhupada had to put in some purposes for legal incorporation. But yet these purposes are so deep and so profound and so meaningful to us even today, 54 years later, that that's why we're still talking about them. They used to, for many, many years, I don't know, some of you may remember, they used to print them in the Back to Godhead magazine on the inside cover of the first page, second page, every single month, the purposes of ISKCON. Now, they haven't done that for a while, but for many, many years, probably 20, 30 years, I remember them always being there to remind us, what is our purpose? In a sense, the seven purposes of ISKCON that Prabhupada wrote down and enumerated, you could say are like the mission statement. They're our mission statement. It's what we're about. It's what we do. So first I'll read these. One, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and achieve real unity and peace in the world. Boy, doesn't that encompass a lot, right? To propagate a consciousness of Krishna as is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So first, the general theme of spreading God consciousness, Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And then what is our source? Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Three, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, and thus develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Krishna. Four, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is included as one of the critical purposes. Five, to erect for the members in our society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Six, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. And then finally, with a view toward achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. So as I was studying these seven purposes, just for my own sort of thinking, I thought that they fall into two different dimensions. We could think of it. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could group this, but I saw two different dimensions here that Prabhupada was covering. One was the dimension of preaching and educating society, the missionary activities of this Krishna conscious movement, distributing books, propagating the holy name, Sankirtan. Secondly, was to provide for the spiritual needs of the devotees, to bring the members together. Because after all, if you print these books and you distribute these books and people become interested in Krishna consciousness, then what happens to them? How do you cultivate them? How do you help them? How do you organize a society that sustains the life of the members in a way that everyone grows spiritually and always, emotionally, materially? In other words, that we actually can all flourish together as devotees. So he wanted to teach the world how to live happily through spiritual knowledge. And he knew this was kind of a radical vision to change the world. Prabhupada never thought, well, everything may be more or less the same, but we'll add a little touch here and there. No, he wanted to completely transform society into a Krishna-conscious, you know, culture, a Krishna-conscious society. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, he says, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. So, bringing about a revolution in a misdirected civilization. Strong words, very, very bold approach to making real change. And Prabhupada instructed us over and over in this idea. of making real change in the world and our place in it. In my initiation letter, when I was initiated, Srila Prabhupada sent a letter to some of us that were getting initiated to the temple president, because he was in India and I was in Chicago at the time. And he said in this letter to us, he said, "You are all intelligent boys and girls." Prabhupada is very kind. "Therefore, my request to you is that you study the science of Krishna consciousness and solve all the problems of the world by systematic propaganda as far as you're able to do it." So my instruction from Srila Prabhupada was just a change to solve all the problems of the world. That was an easy one, you know. At least that as far as you were able to do it. By systematic propaganda, Prabhupada would use this word propaganda. We sometimes use that word in a sort of pejorative sense or negative sense, but he meant through like organized activity of, you know, of spreading of books, of, you know, of just ways that you bring your point forward to people. And so this was always the mood. Prabhupada in following this purpose very, very closely of always wanting to bring Krishna consciousness to the world. And specifically through the Vedic scriptures. To propagate Krishna consciousness as revealed by the great scriptures of India, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So of course Prabhupada emphasized these two books primarily. Of course all the books, he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita and so many others. But he felt the most important Vaishnava literatures were Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, early on, these are the ones that he worked on, that he printed. His lifetime work, of course, was the Srimad Bhagavatam, to translate the 18,000 verses, the 12 cantos, into English with elaborate commentaries, purports. Of course, he wasn't able to quite finish that task, but that was whenever he had opportunity, when he didn't have managerial and other responsibilities, he was always working on that. And of course, very much emphasized from the very beginning, the morning and evening classes of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning, the Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, of just because these were the foundational works. If you could understand these, you could understand what Krishna consciousness was about, right? And along with hearing comes chanting. Chanting was always there from the very beginning. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the names of God. Because, yes, that is the Yuga Dharma for the Kali Yuga that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought. And he personally, after just a couple months, he personally sat down in Tompkins Square Park, took up his cartels, and began chanting Hare Krishna, always demonstrating the importance of the congregational chanting. And he encouraged daily street sankirtan, Rath Yatras, kirtan in the temple, always encouraging kirtan. And in the older days, the devotees did a lot of kirtan, did a lot of street sankirtan, a lot of going out, harinam for, you know, sometimes there's a party that went out all day in many, many places. Of course, we don't have that so much now, but I think the spirit of kirtan is still there in our movement. And the devotees, how can we not be attracted to the holy names? The all-attractive names of Radha and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. So that was always there from the beginning. And he wanted to also connect it with Lord Chaitanya and the Sankirtan movement. Now, because this is what we are doing. We are following the instructions of Lord Chaitanya in this propagation of Sankirtan. And then, of course, was the publication and distribution of books. There's countless quotes and examples of Prabhupada's dedication to writing, translating, printing, distributing books, to great personal interest, negotiated printing contracts, everything. And I only had a little time to look, but I couldn't find an updated number. As of 2014, there had been 500 million, a half a billion of Srila Prabhupada's books sold and distributed throughout the world. It's pretty amazing. And I mean, that's only topped by the Bible, the Quran, and the quotations of Chairman Mao. Of course, the quotation of Chairman Mao, I believe there was not a lot of choice of whether you got that or not. A sort of mandatory reading, as they say. But it's very remarkable. And it's not like everyone was out there looking for them. Say, oh, you know what I really like? I want to find some Vaishnava literature. I want to find out about... No. The devotees went out and brought Krishna to them. And people took it. And so many people, of course, came to Krishna consciousness. And we all know, everybody has a story, has something to do with getting a book or reading the books, or is an integral part of one's coming to Krishna consciousness. And then, of course, Prabhupada's second purpose, after getting this literature out, getting people to understand who Krishna was bringing the members together. So this was also an important part, very, very important part of his work. Prabhupada writes a nice purport in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 4. He says, the International Society for Krishna... by the way, verse 4 is the six loving exchanges. You're probably familiar with that. Of, distributing prasadam and receiving prasadam, giving gifts, receiving gifts, hearing the confidence of others and being confident with others. These six loving exchanges between devotees that are mentioned by Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada, it's interesting in his purport because he sort of turns that to how the Krishna consciousness movement is doing these six loving exchanges with everyone, with humanity at large, by giving them books, and they're giving some donation in return, and we are distributing prasadam and they're taking prasadam. So it was very, very nice that he saw how important it was. So he says at the end of that, he says, the life of the Krishna Conscious Society is nourished by these six type of loving exchanges among the members. Therefore, people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees, because simply by reciprocating in the six mentioned ways above, an ordinary man can fully revive his dormant Krishna consciousness. So these loving exchanges with devotees, sadhu sangha, the association of devotees, is so important. So Prabhupada knew that there had to be a place, there had to be an organization, there had to be a society, a place for people to come and to have this association together as devotees. And then he wanted to develop temples, holy places of pilgrimage. He showed how both establishing temples and distributing books and preaching were needed. This is from Adi Leela 7164. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami went to Vrindavan, there was not a single temple, but by their preaching, they were gradually able to construct various temples. For preaching, construction of temples is necessary. The Goswamis not only engaged in writing books, but also constructed temples, because both are needed for preaching work. Now that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has taken up this task of preaching the cult of Lord Chaitanya, its members should not only construct temples in every town and village of the globe, but also distribute the books that have already been written and further increase the number of books. Distribution of books and construction of temples must continue side by side in parallel lines. So Prabhupada often talked about these two parallel lines. Sometimes he talked about in terms of Bhagavad Gita and Pantaratriki, Marg, the deity worship and the preaching work. How they went together side by side and both were necessary. So, there was nothing missing. He didn't have a one-sided program. Everything was included to give a full rounded spiritual life. Another purpose was to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. So from the very beginning, Prabhupada had a vision of farm communities. Sometimes we've heard about Prabhupada's Gita Nagari vision, and of course our Gita Nagari temple was sort of named after that. The Gita Nagari vision was actually written in 1956, before Prabhupada came to America. He was thinking about how this simple Vedic way of life, simple living, high thinking, protecting the cows, living from the land, from the things that we grow, that how important this was in terms of the life of people. So this was always something Prabhupada emphasized. And even when they were barely beginning, this movement had two or three temples practically, the New Vrindavan Farm Project was established, and Prabhupada very, very much encouraged that. Prabhupada really felt that this was essential, that we could grow our food, protect the cows, have our own milk, this sort of thing, to live simply in relationship, in harmony with nature. In one letter to Rupanuga, he said, "Our farm projects are an extremely important part of our movement. We must become self-sufficient by growing our own grains and producing our own milk, and then there will be no question of poverty. So develop these farm communities as far as possible." And then, through ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada wanted to create a spiritual community. A spiritual community is where the members care for, they are cared for, their needs are provided, there's mutual concern, there's loving relationships, they share a common cause, a shared preaching mission. It's beyond a shared belief system. It's a shared spiritual experience the devotees have. And this is something that early on in my Krishna consciousness, is, you know, when I started doing a little bit of traveling, I found it was very remarkable, because you could go to any temple in any part of the world and it felt very, very familiar, right? There was common things going on. You know, you went into a temple in India or a temple in Europe and you had Guru Puja, you had Bhagavatam class, you know, it's like, you know, it was like a common Vaishnava culture was being established by Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees even acted very similar and had similar expressions, you know. So in other words, creating the spiritual Vaishnava culture was very, very important as part of the mission. So when we all engage in this, and we engage in this welfare work, the promise of the highest welfare work, of course, was giving out Krishna consciousness. And that brings true life to the community. And it feeds the needs of the soul. We all feel very satisfied individually, and we feel satisfied collectively. So as we observe this day, or soon to be coming up day, of the anniversary of the formation of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it gives us more and more understanding, I think, of Srila Prabhupada's position. Krishna is delivering the conditioned souls. That is his business, to bring us back to him. But he has a way he does it. And one of the main ways he does it is through the spiritual master, by sending the acharya, by sending the saints and sages, the sadhus, help bring back the conditioned souls. So it's our Diksha Gurus, our Shiksha Gurus, and other gurus that actually are our link, our connection with Krishna. Otherwise, we don't really know who Krishna is. We don't really know how to approach him. This is coming from the guru. Service to the guru is the way to serve Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, as the founder acharya of the ISKCON movement, he is the preeminent Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. Of course, Diksha Guru for those who were here when he was present, but even for those afterwards, for all the devotees afterwards who are taking initiation from subsequent spiritual masters, he is still the most prominent Shiksha Guru. Why? Because we are reading his books, we are taking instruction from him. He is our authority. He is our source of inspiration. He is the final word, right? You know, so, and this will go on for generations in ISKCON. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada, of course, founded ISKCON, but it wasn't like it was a managerial position. He was uniquely qualified to spread Lord Chaitanya's mission all over the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, his spiritual master, sent different people to Europe and other places to try to spread Krishna consciousness. They did a few things, but really not too much success. And sometimes they came back from England or wherever and said, "We just haven't been able to do anything, Guru Maharaj." And once he said, "Never mind, Abhay will do it." Abhay, of course, Abhay Charan, Srila Prabhupada. He knew that he would be the one who would come to the Western world and succeed, who would be able to do it. And Lord Chaitanya had this plan and predicted this, actually, how to make the world Krishna conscious. In the Chaitanya Mangala, it's discussed how what would happen with the people that, you know, that he was not able to directly reach and approach within India. And he said that later he would send his field commander to foreign countries to bring back all the conditioned souls. I'm not saying he directly said this is Srila Prabhupada, but who else? seems to fit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Prabhupada's position for the next 10,000 years that his books will be the law books, he said, for ISKCON Society. So he is the center. He's the unifying force of ISKCON. So when we talk about the incorporation of ISKCON, we're almost talking about the organized will of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada even said something. He said, I am non-different than ISKCON. In other words, he manifested his desire to preach and to spread Krishna consciousness through the society. So that is what we're not just talking about, oh, the celebration of some moment when some incorporation papers were signed. We're really talking about Srila Prabhupada and his determination and his organization and his inspiration to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. So, in conclusion, they always say you're not supposed to say in conclusion, you're just supposed to conclude. No, it's just finish and shut up, okay? Anyway, this is even more important than ever, I think, during this COVID crisis. I think, well, how does this all apply, all these temples and farm communities? And, well, here we all are, sheltered and staying in and social distancing, whatever. In all circumstances, we have Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We have his words. We have his tapes. We have videos. And most importantly, we have his books. We have his life work, his instructions through the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all of his work. So that is what really keeps us together, that we are sharing that. We are sharing our love for Srila Prabhupada and sharing our understanding of Krishna consciousness as given by him. So the most important purposes of ISKCON is to convey spiritual knowledge. And that happens in many forms and many ways. I was thinking, if this COVID virus had to happen, which is, of course, it's a terrible thing, and who knows what Krishna's plan is, but at least it's happening at a time when we have so many ways and methods of still connecting, you know, through internet and all the different media that we have, and so many ways of still giving out, giving Krishna consciousness, so many ways that people can hear classes and seminars and come together and do Zoom conferences. And we had this, you know, really nice ceremony for Bhakti Chiru Swami, all virtual, just on the internet, but it was very nice. I was wondering if it would be. I was at first thinking, oh, we really have to have it in the temple room, but I realized it just wasn't practical or safe. And then it came out so nicely. So fortunately, we are able to, because of the technology that's here, is we're able to continue so many of these same activities of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, we get devotee association a little bit maybe in the temple for a few of you, or some of us are watching it every day, right? On our computers, watching the morning program, hearing the classes. It's all going on, and everyone's still participating and associating, not quite in the same way. It's not quite as sweet as having direct association with devotees face-to-face. But still, that association is going on, the preaching is going on, the spreading of the Krishna conscious movement under Srila Prabhupada will continue. And this will be over at some point, and we will continue to flourish and go on for another 10,000 years for this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any